that relate to issues of what matters in the arts and in the world of meaning, purpose, and beauty. Join us for Living Art on KPFT Houston.
Wednesday evenings at 7 at 90.1 KPFT.
Hi, I'm Al Stahaley, and you're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1.
KPFT is supported in part by the Sugarland Smart Financial Arts Center, 18111 Lexington Drive in Sugarland, Texas, who have donated tickets for Billy Strings on December 9th. For more information, kpft.org or 713-526-5738, option 1.
Welcome to another edition of the Progressive Forum. The Progressive Forum covers issues such as human rights, the environment, politics, and peace and justice, in addition to presenting news, commentary, and a weekly calendar of events.
Good evening. Welcome to the Progressive Forum on KPFT 90.1 FM. This is Lillian Kerr, and I'm joined by the founder of this show, Wally James. Good evening, Wally.
Good to see you, Lillian.
You too. It is Fun Drive,
yes,
but we
is.
Do have a show tonight. We have our guest, Pam Gaskin, who is a local Houston area voting rights activist, Wally, and we're going to be looking at the very unfortunate ruling from the Supreme Court, which came down April of 2026, striking down Louisiana's majority black congressional district, which in effect gutted the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible news.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, just here we are, you know, at this point, and we're going backwards.
Exactly. I know. Very unfortunate. So thank you. Pam is going to talk to us this evening.
All
we
right.
are going to be coming to you, our listeners. We are still in Fun Drive here at KPFT, so we will be doing our, you know, pitching,
mm-hmm.
asking for those of you that have not yet contributed or pledged during this Fun Drive. You know, we have a few days left, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. But without any further ado, go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, the number is 713-526-5738, or go online to kpft.org and support KPFT, and we'll be back to talk to you some more, but please make that donation.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. So tonight, our guest here on the Progressive Forum is Pam Gaskin. And Pam is going to talk to us about the Supreme Court ruling, which came down April 29th, 2026, where the Supreme Court issued its 6-3 ruling striking down Louisiana's majority black congressional district. So what does this mean? Pam, welcome to the Progressive Forum.
Well, thank you, Lillian. It's great to be with you again.
And thank you for joining us again. We love to get your knowledge and feedback on this. What went through your mind when this decision came down from the Supreme Court?
Well, considering that I had just entered college when the Voting Rights Act was signed in 1965, I was absolutely shocked because we'd been through, you know, the marches and demonstrations and the Selma March and mm-hmm. all of that. And as Wally just said, it seems like we're going backwards.
Mm.
The wind really was kind of taken out of my sails. And quite frankly, that Callis case, which is the Louisiana case,
mm-hmm.
Did that, and just this last week, we had a reversal of a 2023 case, the Milligan case out of Alabama.
Remind us of that.
Okay, in 2023, the Supreme Court told minority voters that the Voting Rights Act still mattered.
Okay.
Because what that Milligan case, it allowed, it told Alabama, the state of Alabama, that the way it had redrawn its lines was unfavorable to the interest of minority voters. So, you know, they were upholding Section 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2026, the court turned right around and told states that proving a Voting Rights Act violation would now be much harder because they allowed the state of Alabama to remove representation. What it did in 2023 was allow Alabama to create a second minority voting district.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they only had one before.
Mm-hmm.
And 2023 upheld them to do that second district. They turned right around in 2026 in Milligan again.
And reversed themselves.
And said, nope. So Alabama, of course, immediately went to work
mm-hmm.
to remove that second district, which, you know, you look at the Calais case, which we're talking about, you know, when I agreed to come on the show.
Right.
This second Milligan ruling hadn't come
out. Right, that just happened, yesterday or the day before?
Right.
Right.
But the Calais case in Louisiana was just a shock because that case also removed a second district that had been created after the first Milligan case. So... You know, it's kind of what we're seeing is this is rippling across the South. And there are a couple of things that I want to share with everybody for a couple of minutes here.
Sure.
The Voting Rights Act has been one of the most important tools for protecting the right to vote and ensuring that every community has a fair opportunity to elect representatives of its choice. It was passed in 65 because our nation recognizes that discrimination in voting doesn't always happen in the open.
Mm.
Sometimes it occurs through election rules, such as poll taxes,
right.
How many jelly beans are in a jar, district boundaries, and systems that weaken the voices of certain communities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Supreme Court's ruling in Calais and this week in the Milligan reversal has raised concerns about voting rights with voting rights advocates, civil rights organizations, and a lot of legal scholars because it now makes it harder to challenge voting maps that dilute the voting power of minority communities.
Mm-hmm.
And critics argue that the decision weakens Section 2. And what I'm going to add is that this Milligan case this week not only further weakened it is driving the nail in the coffin of the civil rights of the Voting Rights Act.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Pam.
Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, discrimination today rarely comes with a written confession. Nobody ever says, we're going to openly discriminate, okay? So the Voting Rights Act was designed to look at results and impact. If you say everybody has to be elected countywide and you don't have districts, mm-hmm. Single member districts, the impact of that is that minority communities can't elect people of their choice. But if you go to those, now you're going to get a different result. People will be able to do that. Now, they say, nope, we're not doing impact and results. Now we're doing intent.
Mm.
So you have to prove, if I come go and say the county I live in is discriminating because I can't elect somebody of my choice, I have to now, the burden of proof now is that I have to prove that the people that drew the maps intended for black voters such as myself not to have a fair opportunity.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's a representation issue. And in Texas in particular, where voting rights and redistricting lawsuits have been frequent, the effects of this decision is especially important. Mm-hmm. Because understand this, it's not just congressional districts that are being, that this new ruling allows. They're looking at when the legislature goes back into session, they're going to be able to redraw legislative lines, so your district, state district representatives, counties. They can redraw county commissioner lines. We had that done here in Fort Bend County this year. And local election maps. And when we say local election maps, we mean school boards. We mean city councils. And some people may remember, some of your listeners may be old enough to remember, when all city council members in the city of Houston had to be elected citywide. The result of that, remember going back to the language of the Voting Rights Act, the result of that and the impact of that was that you had a predominantly white, mostly white city council.
Right.
When they went to, and we fought hard to get single member districts. So that's why you have District K,
right.
District. So now voters in those single member districts can elect someone to represent them
from that district
of their choosing.
Right.
Well, you know, this new ruling says, well, you don't have to do that because you don't have that right anymore. And remember this, listeners, a right without a remedy is just a right in name only. And the strength of our democracy depends on the ability of every voice to be heard and for people to elect who they want. But now the court has invited any state to do what Alabama and Louisiana did because they now say, the court says, that a state can offer any political objective to overcome the claim of minority voters. The state can claim incumbent protection. They can draw these lines to protect incumbents. They can draw these to lock in a permanent electoral advantage for one political party. And all of that is sufficient explanation for districting lines that disadvantage black, Latino, and minority communities. So that's kind of where we are.
And it's so, as we've been talking about, I mean, the Voting Rights Act was really hard fought and won. I mean,
yes.
And to cut it down at the knees like this sometimes I think, thank goodness John Lewis is not alive today. I mean, how awful to have been in those marches and to have worked so hard to win, to, as you say, I love that what you talked about, you know, a vote without a right without a remedy is not a right. You know, they fought so hard. I mean, technically, African Americans had the right to vote after the Civil War, but, you know, could they vote? No, they were subject to all kinds of violence and discrimination, so hence the Voting Rights Act. But I don't know.
Now what they're saying, the court is saying, is that fair representation should not depend on whether discrimination is openly confessed. Because now, in order to get to elect someone, you have to prove that their intention was discrimination. And they're not going to send an email to all of the people who are, and say, well, you know, we just need to stop these black people from voting. So let's just draw this line like this. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're not, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should take a break.
Oh, just a short one here to remind people we are in Fund Drive. And the number down here is 713-526-5738 or go online to kpft.org. But KPFT is on the air and is able to bring you discussions like this because of support from people like you that have stood up and shown that they want to make a difference. And it's your turn. If you haven't done this ever or not in a while, it's a great time for you to step up and make a difference. Just listening to this interview, and you can see what's going on, and it's sleight of hand, and it's racist. If you say that this is not racist, they'll have some convoluted argument, but it's clear that's what it is.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's what so makes this so distressing. But, you know, where else are we going to hear this kind of programming, right, Wally?
Right.
Where else are we going to get this in-depth information from such wonderful local community activists such as our guest tonight, Pam, who can give us such knowledge because of the work that she's doing, plus many other community activists that are really working out there to protect these rights, to, in spite of these headwinds that we continue to face from this administration. It's so if you value this, if you value this kind of programming, please let us hear from you. 713-526-5738. You can pledge at any level. You can make a sustaining pledge. That's quite easy. You can pledge $120 and break it down over, you know, over 12 months. Whatever works for you that just shows that you're part of this community, that you value this programming, and you want this to keep going. We're in our 56th year here at KPFT. Mm-hmm. We went on, we started broadcasting in March of 1970 and immediately faced hatred from the KKK back then. So we are continuing to do what KPFT and the Pacifica mission stands for. We have some people to thank.
All right. Warren and Jenna.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in.
And if that's the Jenna, I think it is. Thank you, Jenna, so much.
Thank you so much. And Warren.
Yes, thank you both. We really appreciate it. And if we could get a few more people calling in, it would get us a lot closer to our goal. But yes, we're glad to see these. And
thank you.
Please make some more calls.
Let's go back to our guest. So, welcome, Pam. Thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no. You know, when we were doing, I'd like to remind the listeners that these rulings are continuing a trend that we've seen, and it's not just since 2023. In 2013, there was a case called Shelby County versus Holder.
Mm-hmm.
And the Voting Rights Act had five different sections to it. These latest cases dealt with Section 2, but the Shelby case is the one that where folks didn't have to. Let me get a simple way to explain this.
Okay.
In Shelby versus Holder, states in the South,
right,
who had proven that they had discriminatory rules and regulations and laws,
mm-hmm.
had to do what was called pre-clearance. So if they made a change to their vote, to their maps, they had to submit those changes to the Department
that.
Of Justice.
Yeah.
And the Department of Justice had to pre-clear and say, okay, Texas, no, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes, you
Louisiana,
can,
yes, what yep. you're doing is okay. Well, Shelby versus Holder eliminated the need for pre-clearance.
So
I want your listeners to know this. When that decision came down, within 2 hours of the decision being handed down, the state of Texas had already filed legislation for voter ID, more stringent mail ballot. I mean, it was.
They were waiting.
They didn't need pre-clearance now to do that. So, you know, they just put their little rules in. So this, we have seen an erosion of the Voting Rights Act. So now these latest ones that attack Section 2 and have virtually made it toothless. You know, so this, look at this as a continuum. And let me tell you, the only thing, Lillian, that we can do is vote and vote in massive numbers. Okay?
Yes.
We must vote because we can't get disheartened.
No.
We just all have to redouble our efforts. I'm part of a nonprofit called the Houston Voting Initiative, and we do things in the in minority communities to try to increase voter turnout.
Right.
And you know, a lot of folks, you'd be surprised. I've had folks tell me, "Oh, well, you know, Pam, that voting rights, that's ancient history." And I'm like, no, it's not ancient history. And you know, we fought for that and won that. No.
They've taken it away.
My vote doesn't count. And I'm like, well, your vote, you know, there's a reason that they're passing all these laws. Your vote must be really important if they're trying to keep you from casting it, which means you have to. So at Houston Voting Initiative, we're doing a couple of things. And your listeners just kind of go to our website, HoustonVotingInitiative.org. We're doing a film series just to, you know, because everybody doesn't respond to the same thing. So we're showing, like, The Inquisitor, which is the film about Barbara Jordan.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, how what she did. We are showing the movie Selma.
Yep.
Which was the start of the voting rights. So go to our website and check us out. But what we're doing is trying to increase turnout.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, you can turn out, if you can overwhelmingly win.
Yes. In spite of this.
In spite of this.
Right.
That is correct.
And we can also, I think I was reading that some members of Congress are working too hard to restore the Voting Rights Act.
Yes.
I'm thinking of Senator Warnock.
And that's the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that is presently, you know, right now it's going nowhere. But look, there are senators and Congress people who are working on this and keeping it in front of folks. And you know, if we can turn out and vote and turn this thing around, we're going to give power back to the people,
right?
Because our Constitution is based on, well, you know, I mean, let me just say this: when the Constitution was first enacted, voting could only be done by white men who owned property,
right?
So all white men couldn't even vote, and no woman could vote, and certainly no enslaved people could vote. So
all those,
know, we need to look at this continuum.
Yeah. I mean, that should right away give us hope, the fact that all these people that did not have the right to vote fought and ended up getting these rights that helped the whole country. So, yeah.
I mean, women got the right to vote in 1920. So, you know, It took us black folks until 1965, but, you know.
And nobody just gave them the right to vote. It had to be marched and protests. People died. People were imprisoned. It was a hard battle, but it resulted in victory for the right to vote. So
absolutely,
you know, let's not take that for granted. So continue to be hopeful, as Pam is talking about. We have a few minutes left, Pam. So give us the Houston Voter Initiative details one more time. Is there a website?
HoustonVotingInitiative.org, okay. O-R-G, or .com, you know.
Yeah.
And see what we're doing and where we are. And if you want to come to one of the films, come on out. We try to have a discussion afterwards.
Are you showing them physically somewhere?
Yes.
Oh, where?
Yes,
where?
Yes.
Go to the website. We'll go to the website.
Right. But we are, you know, they're mostly in churches.
Okay. I will look at that.
We just did an agreement, but we have one that's coming up at the Pinnacle.
Okay.
In Southwest Houston. It's a senior citizen center on June 18th at 11 a.m. at the Pinnacle Center.
Okay.
We're showing, I believe we're showing Selma.
Okay.
Or we may be showing The Inquisitor, one or the other.
Right.
And that's on June 18th. We're showing them at a couple of churches, we're doing something with the libraries. I know we're doing one at one of the county libraries, but I don't know which one. I can't.
Pam, I think we're going to wrap it there, but we're going to go ask everybody to go to the website of Houston Voters Initiative. And I want to thank our guest tonight, Pam Gaskin, who's been talking to us about the recent developments gutting the Voting Rights Act. But in the few minutes we have left here on the show, Wally, we need to come back to the fund drive.
Yes.
And pitching here at KPFT.
It is so important. I mean, this interview that you just heard, you're not going to hear that anywhere else in Houston. And KPFT has been standing up for the rights of people for a long time. And so if you haven't donated yet, please make that call, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Call now or go online and make your donation.
It's so easy. You can go to www.kpft.org. Your donations are secure. So please, let's hear from you.
Thank you. Yes, call now. It's so important. 713-526-5738. KPFT is here because of people like you that have made a difference. And if you hadn't done it a while or ever done it, make that call and show that you care. 713-526-5738 or go online to kpft.org.
Thank you, Wally.
Thank you.
And thanks to our wonderful volunteers tonight.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
We'll be back next week.
We will.
Desde el asiento trasero, suena feliz. Pero si un bebé está dormido, ¿te vas a acordar que está ahí? Olvidar a tus hijos en el asiento trasero le pasa a cualquiera. Un auto se calienta rápido y puede ser mortal. Así que revisa el asiento trasero. Un mensaje del NHTSA y el Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Terry Garner, host of Can You Dig It? And you're listening to Houston's Community Station. You could find us at 89.5 in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Hello, KPFT listeners. This is Tom Tranchilla, your host for Songwriter Studio, right here on KPFT. We bring you interviews and brand new releases of regional, local, and national artists.